Pastor Curtis Dieterding, and you're listening to Scripture Readings and a sermon from Trinity Lutheran Church and School in Fergus Falls, Minnesota.
For this third Sunday in Advent, turn to the Old Testament book of Isaiah, the 61st chapter. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their offspring shall be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, and they are an offspring the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading this day is from Paul's epistle to the Thessalonians, his first epistle, the fifth chapter, beginning at verse 16. This also serves as today's sermon text. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. But test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. And this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, I baptize you with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am unworthy to untie. These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's that time of year again when we write lists to remind us of everything we have to do. It seems like everything that we do at this time of the year, it seems like there's a whole lot more of it. As we prepare for Christmas time, to be with family and friends, whether you're the ones going or you're the ones coming, there just seems to be like there's always lots and lots to do. Well, let me ask you this today. Have you forgotten anything? We do all kinds of things to give ourselves little reminders. I have to say, I don't think I've ever used the one on the front of the bulletin cover before, but I have done other things to try to remind myself of things I need to do. A lot of you have seen that obnoxious electronic date book that I carry around called a Palm Pilot. It takes me forever, it seems, to put something in there, but it has been useful to me. But even when I do that, sometimes I forget to check it to make sure that I make my appointments and get things done that I need to get done. Of course, now they got the handy-dandy program where you can actually program into your electronic device your date and then put a little alarm on it so it'll actually ring to remind you at just the right time when you have to do something. But then again, that's a lot of work. It becomes arduous and it's just a mess. It's definitely a different world that we live in today. Yes, the weeks before Christmas are extremely busy with so many things to do. We take extra care trying to not forget anything. St. Paul has a few last-minute reminders to share with us today from his first letter to the Thessalonians. Reminders that are appropriate for Christians at any time, but especially fitting for this season, filled with so many things that have to be done. And don't you find that sometimes even the most important things can sometimes be overlooked? So as we prepare ourselves for Christmas again, let's not forget some of the most important things. The Advent question we should be asking ourselves about our spiritual life in relationship with our Lord is, have you forgotten anything? Paul's words in our text would suggest that we keep three things at the top of our priority list, that is, in our spiritual relationship with our Lord, especially as we plan for Christmas. And that is, number one, that our God is a peaceful and faithful God. Number two, that our dear Savior is coming again. And number three, that God's will for our lives is for our lives to be filled with joy, our lives be filled with prayer and thanksgiving. The first and foremost thing to remember at the top of our list is that God is faithful. And that what He wants more than anything else for us in this world is to know that same peace that He knew with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden before the fall. And it's interesting because as we move through this text, we will actually see Him referring to that time again. Listen, though, now to verse 24 of our text. God who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. When God makes a promise, He keeps it. He always keeps it. The Lord spent more than a few weeks getting ready to come into this world as a baby in Bethlehem. For centuries, the Lord prepared his people for the coming of the Messiah. These plans were made before the foundations of the world were laid. He promised that he would save them from all their enemies, not just for those who attacked them physically, but also the enemies who attacked them spiritually. Great detail was given that there would even be someone who would come ahead of the one who was coming to announce that he was coming into the world, just as I shared with the children moments ago. Our gospel reading from John 1, 6 to 8 states, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light." God promised to send this messenger, and indeed he kept that promise when he sent John into this world. If we were to overlook that our Lord is faithful by sending John the Baptist, we would have forgotten something very important this Christmas. This faithful God is also identified by Paul as a God of peace. Again, Paul writes, verse 23, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely." Peace with God. Where is that found? It is not found within our sinful nature. In fact, by nature, we are enemies of God. So in order for us to have peace and to have harmony with God, somehow sin must be destroyed, wiped out of this relationship. He promised that God promised that he would come and bring this perfect peace and harmony to our relationships with him. And as I mentioned before, God's original relationship established in his creation was one of perfect peace and harmony. Right from the get-go, God was determined to heal this broken relationship that we had caused and to restore peace. And so the preparation began. The seed was passed down throughout generations until finally one day was sent the Prince of Peace. Our dear Savior, who broke into this world for the sole purpose of bringing peace and harmony back into our relationship with God by destroying and putting away once and for all the sins that had destroyed that relationship. He took them to the cross there to die and have them buried forever. So again, this Advent season, we want to keep the God of peace, the God of faithfulness, at the top of our list of things not to forget. The second thing I mentioned that Paul mentions here in this text is that for us to remember during this Advent season that it is this Prince of Peace who is coming again into this world. And so that we do not forget, we gather as God's people and we sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs about this one who is coming. And a number of our hymns that we sing and the number of our songs that we sing during this time of year refer to that coming of Christ again. One of my favorite hymns ends with this verse, "Come, Jesus, come, Messiah, Lord, lost paradise restore. Lead past the angel's flaming sword. Come, open heaven's door." If you remember that story of how we fell from God in Genesis, you do recall that there was an angel with a flaming sword that'll stand guard and keep us ever out of that paradise with God. And it was all because of our sin. That short verse is so loaded We're asking who to come? Jesus. Jesus, the name means what? He saves. He saves his people from his sins. Messiah, all of them knew what Messiah meant. Messiah was the one that God promised, the anointed one who would come and bring salvation to the people of God, destroying all their enemies. And Lord, the very reason for why they said that they needed to kill him, because he blasphemed and said that he himself was God. Here he comes, Savior, the anointed one, Lord God of heaven and earth, lost paradise restored, to once again be in that relationship that was known at the beginning of the world with God, is the reason why Jesus came into this world, that we might have that peace restored. Paul writes of Jesus' return in our text, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God, that's not left up to us to do. That is why Christ came, so that we might be presented blameless before our God in heaven. And this is where our confidence rests, is in what Christ has done to make us blameless, that we might have peace again with God. And God is the one who sanctifies, as Paul reminds us here. And he does that through the sacrificial blood of his own dear Son. So let us not forget, on the lists that we're making this Advent season as we prepare for Christmas, that our God is faithful and he will keep us in steadfast faith through his word, through the sacraments, by his grace and mercy. This is Advent preparation. And God continues to prepare our hearts as we gather to worship and hear him speak to us by his word, preparing our hearts to receive that Christ of Bethlehem who will faithfully return. He will do it because he is faithful. Finally, the God of peace, who keeps us in mind that Christ is coming again, also wants us to remember that he wants our lives to be full and rich, full of joy, prayer, and thanksgiving. It is his will for us to have these things. Isn't that marvelous? Listen to Paul in verses 16 to 18 again. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Now think about that. It's God's will for you to be joyful always, to be in constant prayer with him, as though he is like a friend of yours with you constantly, always by your side, that you can turn to at any time and talk to. And just think, if we were really consciously there with God all the time throughout the day, we would be thankful continuously for all that he has done for us, not just in the temporal blessings that he gives us day in and day out, but also the eternal blessings that come through what Christ Jesus has done for us. Even in our Old Testament reading from Isaiah, we hear the words, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. How can you not be anything but joyful knowing these words, knowing this truth, this promise, and you know that he will do it and has done it in his Son, Jesus Christ. Let us not forget the spiritual joy that should be foremost in our hearts and on our minds and at the top of our lists as we go about our daily activities. If this is not the case, then I'm saying we have definitely forgotten something. Something huge. And where spiritual joy abounds, also there will be a fervent prayer life flourishing. Have we forgotten God's faithfulness to be with us always, that we can talk with Him about anything, that we can pray without ceasing, to be in a habit of calling upon Him in good times as well as the bad and the times of need? If we overlook doing these things, we have forgotten something of major importance. And then finally, Paul gives us some admonitions, some warnings here as well. He's got a list of them there. He's got his own list. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. These words are meant for our good, to bring us blessing, to help us in our battle against the evil one and all that he would have to throw at us. These words are words of preparation. Not only during Advent, but preparation for our lives as we prepare to greet our Savior. A season here of Advent that can get so jammed up with so many other things that are on other lists that we have that aren't near as important as the spiritual things that God has given us to remember. And when exactly do we quench the Spirit? That's kind of an odd choice of words, to quench the Spirit. What does that mean, to despise prophecy? Well, when our schedules get tight, and when we haven't made all the worldly preparations that we want to make to greet family and friends, guess what goes first? Our prayer life, our time in God's Word, probably even worship. Quenching the Spirit, despising prophecy. It's all third commandment stuff. Busy Advent people of God need regular nourishment and rest that only comes from God. How about taking time from your busy schedule and resting with a true rest that comes only in God and in what He wants to share with you, and that is the wonderful gospel news of all He has done for you in this one that we are waiting to celebrate again this Christmas. God, you see, wants us to be strengthened by that Word so that neglect of His Word won't come so easily. We even add special worship services, additional times that we can be in rest with God during this Advent season. And too often we do the opposite because it comes so easy to neglect God's Word. God wants us to be strengthened in the message of what it meant when He sent His Son into this world as that baby in Bethlehem. He doesn't want us to forget that He has been faithful and will continue to be faithful to the end. His will, after all, for us is to be joyful, to pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances for the gifts that we have been given through the one and only holy gift that was wrapped for us in swaddling clothes. This is God's will for us. And since our memories slip so easy, we have good reason to ask one more time, have I forgotten anything? Well, if you have, now is the time to remember. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for worshiping with Trinity Lutheran Church and School, a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. We are located at 1150 West Cavour Avenue in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, just behind the museum. On Sunday mornings, we have a worship service at 9 a.m. and adult and teen Bible classes at 10:30 a.m. To contact the church office, call 218-736-4869. To contact Trinity Lutheran School, call 218-736-5847. You can also visit us online at www.trinityff.org. If you would like to make a donation to help continue this broadcast, please call the church office at 218-736-4869. This is Pastor Curtis Dieterding encouraging you to go in peace and serve the Lord.